the top stories at the bottom of the hour, starting with the election. The election was Tuesday, November 3rd, and we are still looking to see who is our next president. It's a close race between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, who is our current president of the United States. Joe Biden won the popular vote, but Trump is trailing a little behind in the race to 270. We'll see who is crowned the president of the United States probably within the next couple of days. So stay tuned for more on the election. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Tonight's episode will feature again on the NBA in its upcoming season since the finals ended. Today, we'll focus on the up-and-coming news within certain teams and players. I'm excited to get started, so let's get right into it. The NBA season will start on December 22nd and feature a 72-game schedule after the NBPA approves ownership approval per report. The season will start in time for Christmas after all. The NBPA has approved ownership's proposal for the 2020-21 NBA season, according to The Athletic's Shams Crania and ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. That proposal includes starting on December 22nd in time for the league's marquee Christmas slate of games. The schedule will be 72 games long. The plan had initially received quite a bit of resistance from the players, who wanted a longer offseason after the mentally exhausting Orlando bubble. The Lakers and Heat will now have an offseason just over 2 months long after reaching the NBA Finals. The Celtics and Nuggets will both lose a significant amount of time off of their offseasons as well. However, this plan gets the league back on track to return to its typical October to June schedule for the 2020-21 plan, and ensures that as much revenue as possible will be preserved even as the coronavirus pandemic rages on. Next, we got Drew Holiday trade rumors. A look at every possible destination for Pelicans veteran star guard. Every contender in the NBA could use Drew Holiday. The Drew Holiday sweepstakes have officially begun as Pelicans Vice President of Basketball Operations David Griffin all but confirmed that the New Orleans Pelicans is considering offers from their former All-Star guard. Yahoo's Vincent Goodwill reported last month that 10 teams were interested in adding Holiday this offseason, and that number might be a bit low. Holiday's shooting, defense, and overall preference for playing off the ball makes him a fit on practically any roster. So let's go through the destinations that make any amount of sense. Some are far likelier than others, but in total, 14 teams should be considered at least somewhat viable partners for the Pelicans in a Holiday trade. Those teams span the entire contention spectrum, literally including the champion Lakers and the top pick holding Timberwolves. That is how versatile and valuable the 30-year-old still is. The favorites, Brooklyn Nets. There isn't a better fit for Holiday on the board than the Nets. He'd solve their perimeter defense woes, provide some degree of insurance against another Kyrie Irving injury, and functions well off the ball, a necessity given Brooklyn's talent. Caris LeVert would be the base of this deal, but the Pelicans may not be particularly interested. LeVert's injury history poses plenty of risk for a team that already has Zion Williamson, and his poor three-point shooting may be untenable given the current New Orleans roster. This might have to be a three-team trade, but fortunately, there are plenty of teams that would love LeVert. The asset base here, and so is the interest. That makes the deal plausible and maybe even likely. The Golden State Warriors. If the Warriors go all in, they win. It's highly unlikely that any other contender offers a rebuilding asset as valuable as the number 2 overall pick, even with the harmful contract of Andrew Wiggins attached. The question for Golden State is interest. Holiday and Klay Thompson can both defend small forwards, but it isn't the optimal use for either. Holiday can shoot, but he's not exactly a splash brother. And given how few touches there are to go around here, adding him might be a case of diminishing returns. If the Warriors are desperate to deal now, Holiday is the best player they can get. If they choose to wait out the Bradley Beal situation, New Orleans loses its best theoretical offer. Indiana Pacers. Last season, the Pacers had a monopoly on the NBA's supply of TJs by employing TJ Leaf, TJ McConnell, and TJ Warren. Could they do the same with the Holiday brothers next season? It's a distinct possibility. Aaron is under contract, and Justin is a free agent whom they have non-bird rights on. Miles Turner is the perfect long-term center for New Orleans. His combination of shooting and defense at the age of 24 can make him Williamson's front court partner of the future. If the Pelicans agree, they'll likely favor an Indiana package over all others. There are two major holdups here. The first is age. Holiday has 6 years on Turner. The second is cost. Holiday makes around $8 million more than Turner, and the Pacers, owned by mall magnat Herb Simon, aren't in a position to pay a tax next season. These are surmountable issues. If the Pacers are dedicated to breaking up the Turner-Domantas-Sabonis front court, this is a deal they should make. Even without his rim protection, the point of attack defense of Holiday, Malcolm Brogdon, and Victor Oladipo would give the Pacers a strong overall unit. The contenders. Denver Nuggets. Reports have already linked Holiday to the Nuggets, and as a two-way trade over Gary Harris, he could help close the gap against the Lakers in the Western Conference. What are the Nuggets giving up, though? Harris works as a salary filler, but what are the assets heading to New Orleans? Surely Michael Porter Jr. has played his way out of trade talks. That leaves Bol Bol, Monte Morris, and draft picks as candidates. Denver is pick neutral and can afford to give up one or two in this sort of deal, but there are also cash concerns. Can the Nuggets afford to pay Holiday, Porter, Nikola Jokic, and Jamal Murray near max salaries in 2 years? It would mean paying the tax, something this ownership has never been willing to do. The Phoenix Suns. The Suns are gearing up to do something. Rumors have pointed them trying to clear cap space. Fred VanVleet would be the logical target as a defensive complement to Devin Booker, but Holiday fits the same mold. He is also the better player and comes with a shorter contract. If the Suns are willing to put the number 10 pick on the table, their cap space gives them a major advantage in that the Pelicans wouldn't need to take any bad money. Kelly Oubre Jr.'s expiring contract would more than suffice and save the Pelicans more than $10 million next season, before factoring in any picks. But Oubre is a good player, and the Suns are still a young team. If they think they can nab VanVleet, he's probably a better fit for their core, based purely on age. New York Knicks. The Knicks want stars. Holiday doesn't quite have Chris Paul's branding, and he'll never match Russell Westbrook's trophy case. But he's a more valuable asset than either based on age and contract. The Knicks have three extra first-round picks to deal and the cap space to absorb Holiday without sending a single dollar in salary back to the Pelicans. They belong in the conversation if they want to be there, but for now, the safer assumption is that they plan their offseason conservatively. Have the interests, lack the assets. Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers might have the assets for this sort of trade in a vacuum. Kyle Kuzma, Alex Caruso, salary filler, and two first-round picks isn't half bad. And rumors were somewhat mixed on David Griffin's interest in Kuzma during the Anthony Davis negotiations. If you like them more than we realize, there might be something here. But the truth is that the Lakers won't be able to squeak by here. The Pelicans aren't sending them another star unless their offer is overwhelming. It can't be because of how much they gave up for Davis. Expect the Lakers to ask, but the Pelicans to look elsewhere. And finally, the Los Angeles Clippers. The Lakers at least have young assets to work with. The Clippers don't have a single tradable first-round pick, thanks to the Paul George blockbuster. They have precisely two rotation players under the age of 29, Ivica Zubac and Landry Shamet. The Pelicans might like Shamet. They have no need for Zubac. Shamet and the salary filler isn't getting this done. The Clippers would need to extract some value of a veteran and then flip those assets to the Pelicans. They don't have a clear path to doing so. Let's take a quick break before we are back with more of the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Hey, think twice before you litter. Even a small piece of trash can endanger the beautiful animals in our communities. So don't litter. Take responsibility and help the environment. Help save some animals and keep the world clean. It only takes a few seconds to find the trash can and throw away that candy wrapper. So be a role model and don't litter. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
And we're back with more talk about the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. We got the 2020 NBA draft coming up. Here are the pros and cons of the Warriors trading the number 2 overall pick versus standing pat. Golden State has a difficult decision to make here. There was a point in NBA history in which contending teams somewhat routinely landed top draft picks. Four post-merger champions had, at some point in their building process, a top 2 pick earned through some degree of luck. The 1979 and 1982 Lakers, with Magic Johnson and James Worthy, the 1980 Celtics, who traded Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish, the 1997 Spurs, with Tim Duncan, and the 2003 Pistons, with Darko Milicic. Milicic stands out like a sore thumb in that group, but generally, history has suggested that contenders adding top picks tend to win championships. That's why the league works so hard to prevent it now. Teams have learned not to trade unprotected picks, and when they do, the stipend rule theoretically prevents them from trading too many of them. Lottery odds have flattened to such a degree that inadvertent tanks like San Antonio's in 1997 has very little chance of yielding a superstar. It has been 17 years since a true contender has picked this high in a draft. But through a combination of injuries and luck, the Warriors are here. And based on the success that those other teams have, it stands out as a modern rarity, a precious chance to rebuild a dynasty not afforded to most champions. The problem is that there isn't a Magic Johnson or Tim Duncan sitting on the board for Golden State. That would make their decision easy. But with no consensus number 2 pick and a ticking clock on their superstars, the Warriors are justifiably considering a trade. Boston's path in 1980 supports that approach. The Celtics didn't like Joe Barry Carroll, so they flipped him for two players that would become Hall of Famers. It wouldn't be quite that simple for Golden State. The rest of the NBA is just as wary of this draft class as the Warriors are. So let's break down the decision in front of the Warriors. Should they keep their number 2 pick or trade it? Pro: it's Golden State's simplest path to a fourth star. Golden State followed a simple formula in 2016. Teams with four superstars tend to win championships. It added number 4, Kevin Durant, through free agency. That was only possible thanks to an unprecedented cap spike. Now we're dealing with the possibility of a possibly unprecedented cap crunch due to the pandemic. The Warriors already have Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, and Draymond Green on max contracts. They have no feasible path back to max cap space until, at best, the 2022 offseason. That would involve letting go of Steph Curry. Realistically, they aren't re-entering the superstar free agent market until 2023 at the earliest. That leaves two possible ways of landing star number 4. They can draft one or trade for one. As we've covered, if the Warriors felt like they could draft one, they would do it. And most believe they can't do it in this class. And even if they do, it would take that player years to develop. Curry, Thompson, and Green are in their 30s now. They don't have years to wait. If the Warriors plan to add a fourth star for this current championship push, it almost has to be through a trade. Number 2 pick could help them make that trade. Con: a fourth star might not even be available. Usually, there are enough disgruntled stars for any big market team with valuable assets to find one, but 2019 swap meet cleared the table. There are a few stars even in a position to change teams, and the few that make some sense don't appear to be available. The Wizards have shown no interest in trading Bradley Beal. Bearing a Daryl Morey surprise, the 76ers aren't ready to break up Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. The Bucks are riding the Giannis Antetokounmpo train to the end of the line. No player on the trade market remotely resembles a 28-year-old Durant. They're all flawed in some meaningful way. Chris Paul is too old at 35, Victor Oladipo is too injury-prone, and Drew Holiday is redundant with arguably the best backcourt in NBA history still intact. The Warriors want a star, and the number 2 pick can usually yield a star. In these specific circumstances, it probably can't. Pro: a role player-based trade would still help the Warriors win now. Do the Warriors even need a 4th star? Probably not, unless you're of the belief that the aging Draymond Green no longer deserves that distinction. The Curry, Green, Thompson trio won a championship in 2015 without Durant, and then won 73 games a year later. We haven't seen that core since. There's a reasonable chance we look back on the post-Durant concern regrettably as the Warriors pick up right where they left off in 2016. But the 2016 Warriors had something the 2020 version doesn't, and that's depth. Harrison Barnes, Andre Iguodala, Andrew Bogut, and Sean Livingston were essential cogs in that machine. The 5th best Warrior right now is a 2020 second round pick, Eric Paschal. Steve Kerr's coaching slogan is strength in numbers. It lost all meaning with Durant, but his 2019 injury was proof of its importance. The Warriors were so depleted that without him, they couldn't keep up with the Raptors in the finals, relying on minimum salary backups. We've covered a number of possible role player targets for the Warriors in the past. The truth is that almost any non-contending team would be interested in adding a number 2 overall pick, even in a weak class. The options are almost limitless, and Golden State could target any sort of player that it wanted. Con: it could make the Warriors historically expensive. The package of Andrew Wiggins and the number 2 pick is expensive in itself, but it has something going for it: cost certainty. Wiggins has 3 years left on his deal. Number 2 pick is locked up at a below market rate for 4. That isn't necessarily true of players that the Warriors could acquire via trade. Orlando is often mentioned as a target for this sort of deal, with Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier being popular Warriors additions. This deal only works with Fournier opting into the final year of his contract, making him a 2021 free agent. Gordon expires in 2022. Both would need new contracts, and they'd have supreme leverage over the Warriors as they wouldn't have the cap space to replace them. Golden State is already well beyond the projected luxury tax line. Through some combination of the NBA draft, their Andre Iguodala trade exception, their mid-level exception, and the trade market, the Warriors are going to add salary. At a certain point, they have to draw the line financially, especially with the Chase Center likely closed next season. Pro: it isn't even their best long-term asset. The Warriors have the number 2 pick in a bad draft right now. It is entirely possible that they have the number 4 pick in a very good draft a year from now. The D'Angelo Russell trade gave them Minnesota's top 3 protected 2021 first-round picks. If it does not convey, it becomes unprotected in 2022. Now, no first-round pick is guaranteed to become a star. We've seen this with Boston's picks over the past 2 seasons. The Celtics expected a very high pick out of the Kings and Grizzlies through trades. Instead, they got number 14 in back-to-back drafts. That being said, The Timberwolves play in a Western Conference with no obvious tankers, yet. They might have the NBA's worst defense next season, and generally speaking, a team picking number one overall in one draft is somewhat unlikely to pick much lower in the next one. In all likelihood, the Warriors have another top draft pick coming. This class doesn't have a future star, but that one might. One top draft pick is nice, but not enough in the grand scheme of things. Even if the Warriors nailed the Minnesota pick, rebuilding a contender solely around the player as the remains of their dynasty decay around him would be extraordinarily difficult. Even in old age, Curry and Thompson are going to be expensive. They've given away their 2024 first-round pick already. There is a world in which the Warriors add one young stud and it ultimately doesn't amount to anything. The player may be too young to help the current core, who in turn would be too old to help him later. Let's take another quick break before we are back with more news on the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio. It only takes 3 seconds to put on your seatbelt every time you get into a car, and it just might save your life. Car accidents are unavoidable because they are, in fact, accidents. But the choice you make to put on your seatbelt every time you get in the car can change the outcome of a potential accident. Make sure you and your loved ones buckle up every time and help save lives.
And we're back with more talk about the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Here are 14 questions about the NBA free agency. Will Fred VanVleet leave the Raptors? Have the Knicks learned from last year? A primer for the 2020 free agent class and the teams with money to spend as the 2020 through 2021 season approaches. Free agency could start as soon as a few days after the November 18 draft, and it's going to be chaotic. There aren't many teams with cap space, which is partially a result of the lack of superstars on the market. Teams weren't desperately dumping salary before February's trade deadline in order to position themselves to sign a number two or number three option. While there will not be a Kawhi Leonard or Giannis Antetokounmpo pitch meetings to track, there should be a lot of player movement. Tons of players signed short-term contracts last summer, and free agents will be unsensitized to sign quickly, before the teams with money spend all of it. If you like a deep dive on players available, here is a list. And here are 14 questions about this year's free agency. Can anybody pry VanVleet or Harris away? Fred VanVleet and Joe Harris are crucial parts of their respective teams. They've both said on the record they prefer to re-sign. And if nothing crazy happens, that should be the outcome. But how crazy would another team have to get to make the Toronto Raptors or Brooklyn Nets flinch? The New York Knicks have had a point guard problem for eternity. To solve it, maybe they'd be willing to offer VanVleet a bit more than they would otherwise. Especially if they're also trying to scare off the Detroit Pistons. If the Atlanta Hawks are trying to make a playoff push, then Harris would fit in beautifully. Given that VanVleet could guard bigger players. He could even work there, too, starting next to Trae Young and running the second unit. The Raptors don't have much wiggle room if they want to enter next year's free agency with a max slot and try to lure Antetokounmpo. The Nets are looking at a hefty luxury tax bill, so they need to be careful. Let's see if anybody goes nuts. Number 2. How much more can Bogdanović do? Bogdan Bogdanović turned 28 in August, but that doesn't mean he's done developing. The Sacramento Kings guard has never had a usage rate higher than 22.1% in his 3 seasons, and there is evidence he can handle a larger playmaking role. It's not obvious, however, just how much larger that role can be, though the upside almost certainly stops short of lead playmaker. Executives have had plenty of time to watch tape of him filling in for an injured De'Aaron Fox at point guard and come to their own conclusions. There is an important question even for Sacramento, as a new front office led by Monte McNair figures out how to proceed. Bogdanovich is a restricted free agent, so the Kings can keep him if they want to. But what if he finds an offer sheet that pays him $70 to $80 million for the next 4 years? And what if a suitor without cap space offers them draft picks and a sign and trade in order to pay him something similar? Is there any chance they don't trade Buddy Hield? Number 3. Who sold on Wood? There is no free agent more interesting than the 25-year-old who went undrafted in 2015 and, until this year, had yet to finish a season having more appearances in NBA games than G League games. Christian Wood had a world of upside the entire time he was bouncing around, and he was quietly productive as a bench player before a 13-game stretch in which he was so much more than that. Typically, if you're going to make a multi-year investment in a player, a team would like to look at a larger sample size. Wood wasn't even a lock to make the Pistons roster in training camp, but when the hiatus hit, he was easily their most important player. In theory, he could fit in on all of the rebuilding teams. Who wouldn't want a 6'10" big who can stretch the floor, catch lobs, block shots, and move his feet? Players with such a limited track record and a featured role don't typically inspire bidding wars, but players this young and talented are almost never unrestricted free agents. Number 4. Is Bertans a lock stay in DC? The Wizards wouldn't have kept Davis Bertans at the trade deadline without having confidence they could re-sign him. Publicly, they have been consistent with their intention to try and take a step forward next season, when John Wall returns from injury, and show Bradley Beal that he can win in Washington. Burton's absurd and accurate three-point shooting can definitely help if that's the goal. I just wonder what series of events could possibly get in that way. Obviously, if Beal were to request a trade tomorrow, that would change things. Is that it, or is there another suitor that can mess this whole plan up? Number 5. Who can play the sign-and-trade game? When he finally became an unrestricted free agent in 2019, Jimmy Butler got exactly what he wanted, a max contract with the Miami Heat. It didn't matter that Miami didn't enter the offseason with cap space. It worked out a sign-and-trade that sent Josh Richardson to the Philadelphia 76ers. For several free agents, this will be the only path to change teams, play for a winner, and make more than the mid-level exception. Danilo Gallinari and Tristan Thompson likely fit in this category. This isn't always easy, though, and even the Butler arrangement hit a snag before it was completed. Number 6. How much will CBA minutiae affect everything? A lot. And I don't know if you've heard, but the NBA didn't make as much money as it projected last season. And everybody's waiting to find out exactly where the salary cap and luxury tax levels are set. Teams that stay under the apron, which is about $6 million above the tax threshold, have a larger mid-level exception to offer, can receive players in a sign-and-trade transaction, and can use a biannual exception. Since there are so few teams with significant space, players who usually wouldn't take the mid-level will have to consider it. Contending teams that can offer the non-taxpayer MLE will have an advantage over those who can't. What is the Clippers' plan? Question number 7. The Clippers could look into sign-and-trades involving Montrezl Harrell and Marcus Morris. If they can't work something out, they have to retain them, right? A win-now team that is bereft of draft picks shouldn't be in the business of letting good players walk. We're going to really need to be on our game when it comes to sorting out our roster, owner Steve Ballmer said recently. Given that we don't have a lot of picks going forward, how we sort of work in the margins and really find and develop talent, and how we use our exceptions and our veteran minimums, there's a lot of work to do. J. Michael Green might be able to get a raise if he opts out of his $5 million player option. Los Angeles has his bird rights, but its other moves could affect his interest in re-signing. If Harrell and Morris wind up elsewhere, Green would be in line for more minutes. Number 8. Will Miami surprise us? The Heat's offseason could be simple. Goran Dragic and Jay Crowder return on one-year deals. They don't reach an extension with Bam Adebayo, and they maintain their 2021 cap space. Miami has options, though. It can create around $21 million in space by renouncing all of its free agents, and there's no better recruiting tool than the finals run it just had. If it renounces Dragic, other contenders would jump at the chance to get him. And number 9. Who is opting out? It was a bit surprising when Al Horford turned down his $30.1 million player option last season, but unrestricted free agency worked out extremely well for him this time around. It will be much harder for veterans to pull something off like that. If you're in DeMar DeRozan's position, you're probably not declining a $27.7 million option without some assurance that a long-term deal is out there. Would the Hawks go after him? I doubt it, but maybe they'd think about Gordon Hayward, who has a $32.4 million option. Sign and trades are possible in these scenarios too, but simply opting in is much more likely. Some other notable wing players with options: Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, $8.5 million, Tim Hardaway Jr., $19 million, and Evan Fournier with $17 million. My guess is that Caldwell-Pope opts out and re-signs with the Lakers, and Hardaway and Fournier opt in. Let's take one more quick break before we're back with more on the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Voting is an essential part of our democracy, and democracy requires participation. And if I don't vote, someone else will, and I definitely do not want someone else deciding on laws that will affect me, my family, and my community. Voting is our civic duty, and civic duty is the rent we pay for living. So I hope everyone joins me in voting in every single election. For more resources on how to vote, visit www.eac.gov. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communications and Media Studies Department at the Dominican University of California.
And we're back with more talk about the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Now let's get back to the 14 questions about the upcoming NBA season. Number 10, how serious is Atlanta? Everybody's saying the Hawks are going for it, but what exactly does that look like? It probably doesn't mean trying to get a 32-year-old Gallinari, but Harris makes sense, and the Hayward idea is at least intriguing. Atlanta's big problem is defense, though. With that in mind, Justin Holiday and Derek Jones Jr. could slide right in. Caldwell-Pope is a potential fit, too, if he doesn't immediately re-up in Los Angeles. There's also the question of how committed the Hawks are to John Collins. If they extend his contract, then they would have little use for someone like Wood, or say, Jeremy Grant. If they trade Collins, then it's an entirely different story. Number 11. With the new front office, has New York learned from last year? Encouraging news. The Knicks are reportedly open to using their cap space to take on salary in exchange for some draft picks, which is what they should have done last summer when they realized they weren't getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. But New York is also reportedly interested in signing Carmelo Anthony and trading for Chris Paul. So it's not clear that it's taking the long view here. In fairness, the Marcus Morris signing was perfect, since the Knicks tuned him into a first-round pick a few months after signing him. And the strategy of targeting a mix of youngish players and veterans on short-term deals wasn't crazy. They got the wrong guys, though, and they need to start building something. Number 12, can Charlotte add to its core? Charlotte needs talent any way it can get it, and the front office can afford to outbid some of its competition in an effort to sign one of the top-tier guys. The front office should look at this as a rare opportunity to make a meaningful move in free agency. There are variables here, though, and the roster could look significantly different by the time they are making offers. The Hornets can move Terry Rozier if they're not sold on him, and Devontae Graham as their long-term backcourt. They're rumored to be trying to trade up in the draft for James Wiseman. Whatever they do on these fronts will affect how they use their space. Harrell is a logical target now, but won't be if they get Wiseman. Number 13. What is happening in Detroit? The Pistons look like a typical tanking team toward the end of the regular season, but their situation is way more complicated than that. Blake Griffin's injury put the franchise in an awkward position, and Dwayne Casey didn't come to Detroit to oversee a long-term rebuilding project. It would hurt to lose Wood after his big breakout, but if he gets too expensive, re-signing him could cut into the Pistons' cap room, which they'd presumably like to use on another starter-quality player. In a meeting with that kind of player, though, what will they tell him about the direction of the team? So much rides on whether or not Griffin can return to form. The 14th and final question, where will the bigs go? Let's say the Lakers decide they want to use their MLE to sign a new starting center. Would Thompson take a discount to reunite with LeBron James? Serge Ibaka probably wouldn't, right? Is Marc Gasol an option? Aaron Baines? Derek Favors? Every offseason, it gets more difficult for non-star bigs to get paid. Paul Millsap is probably an MLE guy at this point, and there is a long list of traditional centers and stretch fives competing for a relatively small amount of rotation spots, including Harry Giles, Nerlens Noel, Dwight Howard, Jeff Green, Mason Plumlee, Hassan Whiteside, Myers Leonard, Alex Len, Cheick Diallo, DeMarcus Cousins, Markieff Morris, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Chris Boucher. If this is what the market looks like every year, how much will the San Antonio Spurs be willing to commit to restricted free agent Jakob Poeltl? The same goes for the Phoenix Suns and Dario Saric. Enes Kanter had an inconsistent role with the Boston Celtics, but he's probably better off picking up his $5 million option than looking elsewhere. JaVale McGee is in the same situation with a $4.2 million option. Next topic, 2020 NBA draft rumors. LaMelo Ball could fall out of the top three, and James Wiseman hopes the Wolves pass on him. Catch up with the latest news, notes, and buzz as the draft approaches in the next 3 weeks. With under 2 weeks to go until the 2020 NBA draft finally takes place, we're slowly seeing the rumor mill start to churn as teams enter the home stretch and begin making their final assessments. And with restrictions relaxed on in-person interactions, we're already ingesting a steady diet of more rumors leading up to November 18th. Clarity is coming as prospects settle into ranges, draft boards get finalized, and teams' motives become more and more clear each day. Who am I kidding? Motives remain murky as ever. The fun of draft season is trying to interpret motives with confidence because they are rarely clear. Smoke screens have smoke screens by now, and even these smoke screens might have an extra layer of fog. The only thing that's certain is that absolutely nothing is certain. So that's why we're tracking all the latest buzz below, to try and make heads and tails of all the latest draft news and notes, and get you caught up with what everything you need and maybe don't need to know. LaMelo Ball could fall out of the top three, with Minnesota, Golden State, and Charlotte, the teams picking top three in the draft, all seemingly not in dire need of a point guard help, with LaMelo Ball's pre-draft process apparently not going as expected. There appears to be some potential that the 6'7" point guard may slip on draft night. The number one prospect on the CBS Sports Big Board, Ball has struggled in workouts and in interviews, according to the Ringer's Kevin O'Connor, who noted this week that leaked sources believe he could fall out of the top three. I'd bet against it. He's long been seen by most as top three pick dating back months, so it's hard to imagine an interview or workout, even if it's not great, affecting teams' view on him that much. But ball falling could be a fascinating subplot on draft night, especially with point guard needy teams like the Pistons and Knicks sitting in the back half of the top 10 lingering, and likely hoping that indeed does happen. The Celtics willing to trade the three firsts to move up on draft night. The Celtics have a trove of first-round picks in this year's draft, numbers 14, 26, and 30, and are offering all three in trades in effort to move up on draft night, according to The Ringer's Kevin O'Connor. The franchise has reportedly expressed interest in former five-star guard RJ Hampton, who played last season overseas in the NBL, but it's unclear who they would target or how far they are looking to move up. The team appears set on the wing, but could stand to add talent both in the front court with Daniel Theis and Robert Williams, and at point guard behind Kemba Walker. LaMelo Ball meets with the Timberwolves. The Minnesota Timberwolves, who own the number one pick in this year's draft, met with a potential number one pick, LaMelo Ball, last week and is expected to meet soon with the Golden State Warriors, Charlotte Hornets, and Chicago Bulls, according to a report from ESPN. The four franchises all hold the top four picks in this year's draft. The 6'7" Ball is one of the most electric playmaking guards in this draft, though there is a buzz of late suggesting he's not performing well during interviews. It's unclear how much of that is just news and how much is noise, but that a top five prospect is meeting with a team that holds the number one pick is certainly newsworthy and worth monitoring. Wiseman wants Minnesota to pass on him at number one. Minnesota has 7-footer Karl Anthony Towns in the fold and 7-foot prospect James Wiseman, according to ESPN's Brian Horst. Apparently he doesn't want any part of a too-big system next to him with the Timberwolves. Wenhorst said in a podcast this week that Wiseman does not want to come to Minnesota because Karl Anthony Towns is there. And that, from what he understands, Wiseman doesn't even want to do anything with the franchise. Minnesota team president Garrison Rosas said earlier this summer that the team would consider all prospects regarding a roster construction and potential fit problems, leaving the door open to draft that Memphis product. But Wiseman trying to distance himself from the team could play a factor in how the franchise approaches its top pick this month. And that's all the time we have for Go Sports Crazy tonight and news on the NBA. So tune in for more next week as we'll talk more about the NBA and its just upcoming draft pick season, NBA draft in general, and just news on the NBA. So tune in for more on next week on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Thanks for watching and listening, even though you couldn't really watch.